would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me and knew his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Haven Community Church. Welcome to our church online. And everybody, would you just please stand? We're just going to open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in another beautiful week, beautiful couple days, and just we thank you for the great weather. But Lord, we also just thank you that we can gather, we can connect and worship you, and that as we wrap up this series of My Big Mouth, that we can just hear what you have laid on our hearts, because out of the mouth speaks the heart. And so God, just have your way with us today, and just encourage and strengthen us in your guidance and in your Holy Spirit. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Everybody says, amen. See is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? Yeah. For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. Stand against the power of our God.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good, good, whoa, you are good, good, whoa, 'cause you are good, good, whoa, you are good, good, whoa. Let the king of my heart
words per day. That's a lot of big mouths. But what's behind all those little words? There are words that build up and words that destroy. There are words that unite and words that divide. Do your words matter? Is anyone even listening? Or are they just words? Big Mouth, where we will learn the big impact of our little words. Big Mouth.
All right, how we doing? You good? Everybody good? All right. It's so good looking to see this. How you doing? Yeah, here we go. Figures the guy from Philly says that, right? How you doing? Okay. It's looking good, getting a little bit more full and sporadic, right? And maybe we might get back to normal. That's good. I want to welcome everybody here, number one, and we also want to welcome Church Online, anybody who hears it any other time. We're just glad that you are here and just connecting to whatever God has for you. So relax and enjoy, all right? So we're going to go ahead and hit our prayer request off the top of the list today, and I have a couple here from Emily Hewitt. Prayer for her nephew Bill Loper, I think, and he has bone cancer plus other cancer and medical problems. Ron and Joanna, prayer for Lou and for healing, and Kathy and Lauren Shea for healing. There's a team that is going to a conference this week down from church down in Alabama, Stephen Snyder Jr. Rolled his race car yesterday, so prayers for him. That's from Lisa Osborne. We also want to lift up Amanda Burton. Some of you may know Amanda from this county. Amanda is just turned 39 years old, and she is dying from terminal colon cancer. And so she's a fighter, and she's going, but she is in the they've given her several months, but she's going to, we talked about it, she's not going anytime before God calls her. So we're just praying still for a miracle there with her. Connor Ward, Bob Ward's grandson, will be having surgery on the 4th, I believe, of August, and so we're going to lift him in your prayers as well. And we just want to continue to lift others in your prayer requests at this time. All right. If you didn't get them in, you still can put those in at the end if you're physically here, or you can also add that online, and we'll make sure that they get connected to the overall prayer request. All right. So let's go to the Lord in prayer if we can right now. Gracious God, we come before you once again today, and we know that in the midst of everything swirling in life, that we kind of lose sight about who you are and where you are. Sometimes it seems like you're nowhere to be found, but God, just as we sang, you are never, ever going to let us down. Said you are good. And so, God, we need some of that goodness right today for some specific people, for Bill Loper, for Stephen Snyder, for everything to be good with him, for Lou, Kathy and Lauren Shea, the team that's traveling, for Connor Ward, who's facing surgery, this young man, and also for Amanda Burton, we lift her up. We thank you for the progress and the healing that you're doing in Joe Cox's life with a successful surgery, and we ask for continued healing and guidance and protection upon him and upon Martina, his wife, giving them peace. And God, there are plenty of other prayer requests that we have here. We ask that you continue to pray for Pastor Oog and his family as they continue to deal with the loss of his wife, and for others. He's a great man. But also, Lord, we pray for your peace and your guidance to be in the midst of that entire country as things are very tumultuous to this point. For those of us who are here today, God, I pray that you'll do the greatest miracle, that you will speak to us, that you'll still our hearts and our minds just enough to hear what you have to say to us, and that, God, from this encounter here today, that we won't be the same, that you will change our hearts and our lives. And for that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody says, once again, amen. Okay, we do have some announcements. First of all, I'm going to put it up early. For those of you who aren't into the paper bulletins, there is the QR code bulletin. You pull out your smartphones, and then you go ahead and hit the camera and just hold it down on the screen, and it will open up, and you have your own digital copy, and it's a wonderful little thing. And so I'll keep that up there a little bit as I go through some of these announcements. Youth group. So many youth are away this week, so youth group is canceled, but they'll resume again next week. And they're going to have a trip on Sunday, August 8th, immediately following church. It's to go ape, and a final count is needed by last week, right? But you're still gonna have it, so go ahead and get it in. So if you want to get in the time machine and go backwards, you can put in that final count. Again, a couple other things, and these are important. We mentioned several times that we do have a very active and professional, really great Stephen ministry group. And if you are facing any crisis, or shall I say, with whatever crisis you are facing at that moment, they are there to be with you, to go through life with you. And that may be the answer for you. Then, regardless of what it is, they're glad to be there for you. And there's contact information, stephen-ministry@havencc.org. Or you can go to the website and havencc.org, and we'll make sure that you can get connected. And then also, July... that was this week, July 25th at 6:30. Huh? Today, that's right. Gosh, I'm like, what is that date? Seems so good. I'm facing a crisis myself, I guess. But seriously, one of the things that they are beginning today at 6:30 is for those who have lost a loved one. I think many of us have lost a loved one. For those of you know that during this last year, Jill and I lost our parents, and I also lost somebody who was like another parent. So it's been a lot of years at loss. But if you're facing the loss of someone, but particularly in this, this is called the loss of a spouse, and they're going to begin this seminar tonight at 6:30. And so if you have any other information, again, griefshare@havencc.org. And then, as we all deal with grief comes in many different ways. We often think about grief right away for a loss, for a death, or something like that. But many of us grieve the loss of relationships, the loss of occupations, the loss of what have you. One of the things that we have given, it's been very supportive, a 13-week support group that starts Mondays, and it's going to start August the 9th through November the 8th from 6:30 to 8:30, and they're going to be doing that in person and via Zoom. The in-person, it just works fantastic, but because of life, we've all gotten used to Zoom, so it's a great opportunity, and it will be here, and we'd love for you to connect, and if you want to deal with that. I do not know of anyone who's taken this and participated in Grief Share that has said, oh, that was a waste of my time. Everybody said, I wish there was more time connected to it, and it's a fantastic, fantastic connection for people. All right? So that's the announcements that we have today. And again, hopefully, if you wanted to, you got that right there. Oh, I have all kinds of water bottles up here. But we'll go ahead and take a look. All right, so we have been in the midst of a series called My Big Mouth. It's just not one about me, but it's about everyone's big mouth. Now, one of the challenges is that when we have a series like this, we begin to go ahead and say, oh, wow, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. So we think of their big mouth. The problem is they're thinking of our big mouth. So this is called My Big Mouth, and this is geared so that we can go ahead and talk about this and deal with this. And we talked about criticism. We talked about complaining. Last week we talked about Satanese, which is the devil's language, which is lying. And so it's a good transition into this week, because often last week goes very hand in hand with today's topic. And today's topic, part four, our last series, last week of the series, is gossiping. Okay, gossiping. And remember last week, the illustration that I gave was like, you need somebody to share with. You remember, for those of you who weren't here, I said, you need somebody to share with, and you need somebody that you can lay your burdens down on, the things that you struggle with, and say, hey, here's what I'm dealing with. And in doing so, by saying that, you need to have those people that love you unconditionally, but love you unconditionally to say, hey, get it together. And the illustration I used was, hey, you don't come to church and say, oh, they say, how are you, greeting you at the door, and you say, hey, I snorted a whole bag of cocaine last night, that's why I'm so happy to be here. So I did not hear yet, did anybody think that the pastor was admitting to snorting cocaine last week? That's what I want to mention. No. Okay, just making sure that gossip hadn't gotten around. But the bottom line is this, right? All of us, every single one of us, knows somebody who gossips, don't we? How many of you know somebody who gossips? Raise them high. Raise them high. There we go. If you're not raising your hand, you are that person, all right? So don't be elbowing the person next to you and say, or give them that look, that one, one of those things. But all of us know somebody who gossips. Maybe, how many of you have heard gossip recently? Anybody? Okay, all right. Like just a little bit. How many heard some really good, juicy gossip? So maybe you have a problem with your mouth, and maybe you gossip too much. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. We'll hear about it later this week when you say something. But whatever the case, we need to recognize something. Gossip is rampant. Do you agree? It really is. It's a major problem. And in this cancel culture world we live in, it is bigger than ever before. So whatever the case, it's out there. It happens all the time. We hear it all the time. It's become not only part of what we hear at work or what we hear in our friends groups or at schools or whatever, or even in the family. It is something that we actually see that is on television and is passed off every time. How many of you have ever watched different versions of the television news, where you have one that it takes the same story and the headline is completely different on both channels? How many of you have seen that? And it's a totally different approach. How many of you know what to believe anymore? Thank you. You joined the club with me. So there's this happens all the time, and I found a great article about gossip and something called good therapy. And it said, gossip is some manner of salacious information, often about a person's relationship, love life, sexual behavior, or other personal issues they may not feel comfortable sharing, that often leads the target to feel shame, embarrassment, or pain. Gossip can occur in workplaces, schools, and among friends, and it has increased so popularly due to the use of social media. I actually found a study looking this week that Instagram is the worst social media effects on individuals. It creates more depression, more anxiety, and more everything. Number two is Snapchat, and yes, Twitter, and then Facebook. They're all there. They all do those things. So the question is, then why do people gossip? If that's what it does, why do people gossip? Because people gossip for a variety of reasons, and I'm going to give you a couple of these. To share negative information about others that can be a method of making others feel better about themselves. So they have that. The second way is simply this, to get attention. I'm over here, I've got information. The third way is many people use gossip to feel accepted. I thought this was interesting. Some use gossip as a form of relational aggression. That is to get revenge or increase one's own social standing in that. And so it talked a little bit in the article about some of the harmful effects of gossip, and it says those who are usually the target of gossip generally find the experience to be very painful. How many of you have ever been a target of gossip? Anybody? Who has never been a target of gossip? You just didn't want to raise your hand. You're afraid somebody say, "Oh, that's that person who did this." But there are several different reasons. Often people feel very humiliated at the moment when it comes out, or when somebody says something. It also can have a long-term negative impact on a person's self-confidence and self-esteem. And this impact, what studies have shown, is that it often contributes to the development of depression, anxiety, eating disorders, and suicidal thoughts. Gossip can also negatively impact a person's performance in work or school. Their reputation may be tarnished by gossip being shared. I've heard it said that people love to read the headlines but don't follow the rest of the story. It can also negatively impact relationships and make a person feel ostracized and alone. And the last thing that they say in here is that conflict is also possible when one person learns the others who are exactly the ones gossiping about them. Meaning you want to take somebody out behind the woodshed, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? So we have gossip. And I found this story about, you know, how many have ever been part of a church that has had gossip? Okay, here we go. So Mildred, if your name's Mildred, I'm sorry. Not that it's Mildred, but I'm sorry that I'm using this illustration. But anyway, I don't know, you may be sorry it's Mildred too. Who knows? All right, but Mildred was the church gossip in this one church. She self-appointed herself as the monitor of all the church's morals, kept sticking her nose into other people's business, and even though several members did not approve of Mildred's activities and the thing that she did, they were afraid of her because she might start spreading some gossip about them. Well, she made a mistake one day because she accused Frank, who happened to be a new member, of being an alcoholic after she saw his old pickup truck parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon. She emphatically told everyone and told Frank that everyone seeing him there knows exactly what his alcoholic self is doing. Frank was a man of very few words. He stared at her for a moment and then just turned and walked away. He didn't explain, he didn't defend, he said absolutely nothing. Later that evening, Frank got in his car, his truck, drove up, parked it in Mildred's driveway, and left it there for the evening. Way to go, Frank, right? Go, Frank. All right. So, it's very, very, very interesting when we see these different things. The scripture. What does it say about this thing called gossip? Well, it's really clear in Proverbs 18. Here's what it says right here. It says, "Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart." They're dainty morsels. I feel weird saying the term dainty, but they're dainty morsels that are there that just sink into your heart. Like, for instance, how many of you have ever been part of a regular conversation and all of a sudden somebody says, "Hey, did you hear?" Somebody walks by, "Did you hear what Mary did? Did you hear?" And you're like, "What? What happened?" Says, "Well..." And you want to know what? What did it do? "Oh, with so-and-so? Well, you got to be kidding me." And then we go, "Huh? Tell me more." That's pretty much what we do. And then what do? After we hear that, we go and tell somebody else that juicy morsel that we have, right? Correct? We just want to pass it on, keep passing it on. Or do we want to do something right? It's like this. Anybody know what I got here? Peanut M&M's. How many like peanut M&M's? M&M's. Anybody like M&M's at all? I remember one time there was this weight loss person on TV, and the person was saying, "But I love M&M's." And they said, "Well, what you do, you just take one, and you put it in your mouth, and you suck on it." I'm like, "You're an idiot." Okay, you know what I mean? Because how many of you can eat just one of these? Anybody? No, because it's like a little dainty morsel, and you're jealous I got it right now. And I just want to put it in my mouth, and you see right now I bit it. I didn't suck on the M&M to lose weight or anything, but you put it in your mouth, and I will tell you, I want more. Anybody else? How many have them by the handfuls, and you shove it in your mouth like you look like you're like a Viking or something? You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what M&Ms do. So it's pretty good. But it's a dainty little morsel, and this thing, if I start, I got a whole big bag back here. If I start, I can eat this in 2 seconds, and I will want more. And anybody ever been on a diet and you say, "Well, I'll just have one. I'll have a little handful. And next thing you know, you're sitting there, you're talking, and you're like, yeah, you buy small bags, and you go, "Ah," and you're like, "Where did that go? I need more." This is what happens, and this is exactly, M&Ms are a good illustration about gossip, that they're dainty little morsels. We hear them, and there's something we know that we shouldn't, you know, take them all in, but there's something we want to know. "Well, I'll just listen for a little while," and then before we know it, it's like 5 hours, and we're picking up the phone, and we're social media, and we're doing all that kind of stuff. And then we're like, "Oh, so they really did that. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh." Then what do they do then? What do they do then? And does anybody know? "Oh, but they will when I leave here." And we continue that on and on and on and on. And this is where we go. And this is how we get to certain areas where gossip is happening. Someone once said, and I love this statement, that gossip can travel around the world and back before the truth can get out of bed and put its pants on. Especially with our social media and our instant world that we have, at the snap of fingers, at the post of a button, at a phone call or a text, all of a sudden, these dainty little morsels are shared for the entire world, and everybody believes them. I just asked a question briefly yesterday on social media. What were some of the biggest rumors you ever heard about yourself? And one person said that I was dying of breast cancer. Another person said that my husband had left me and my brother was dying of cancer. This actually spread through the church we attended at the time while my husband was deployed in Afghanistan. Somebody said they ran into a coworker's husband a couple years ago, and he said, "Hey, I heard you guys had gotten divorced." And the husband said, "Nope, we're still together." Several other ones, I thought this one was fascinating. When I was 16, there was a rumor that I had drowned. When I showed up in school on Monday, everybody was really, really surprised to see me. Took a while to sort out. Unfortunately, it was another kid that drowned that weekend, but they focused on him. Others said that I left my husband and didn't care about how sick he was. Another said that I was the other man that a friend's wife was seeing. Another one said that they were a secret CIA agent, but they're not allowed to confirm that, which I love that statement too. There's so many others. Like somebody said that they worked at McDonald's at age 16, and somebody who didn't like them, they worked their rear ends off, and they got a promotion, and somebody who didn't like them told them that they touched a much older coworker who they never even met. That's what happens. And then somebody said that the lie that was passed about them, that they were the normal one in the family. But whatever it may be, there's several others. I found some others on here that somebody said, it was this one. Let me just share this one. Heard in high school that my family reused paper towels, specifically that we would put them in the washing machine after using them and use them again. And you know as well as I do that is paper towel girl for the rest of her life because of a rumor. Because of some ridiculous, ridiculous gossip. Whatever it may be, the funny thing about gossip is that it is shared in different reinstatements. And the more that is shared in different reinstatements or other things, it gets further and further from the truth. It starts over in one way, and it starts again and again and again. And it reminds me of the game, the telephone game. You remember that? Where one person would go ahead and you'd get a sentence and you go, "Hey," and you whisper to somebody, and by the time it got to the end, it was completely different. If you don't understand what I mean, I want to show you this video with the help from friends.
Ready? This is a really long car ride. This budget meeting stinks.
Stinky trash can.
Where you hear things, it goes on and on again, and it's amazing how different things can begin to sound one way, and then they get to spread. And if you've never ever been stung by gossip, and if you ever have been stung by gossip, you know the pain that it feels and how it inflicts you. Maybe for you, you lost a friendship over some gossip that somebody shared. You were really, really embarrassed by something that could have been you. Whatever the case may be, that damage that gossip causes is so crushing. It can sting because those rumors sink deep into a person's heart. They're dainty morsels that sink into your heart. And so the problem with gossip is simply this. It's difficult. We see it when it's out there or it's about us, but it's difficult to see when we look in the mirror when we're gossiping. For instance, like a lot of us have our own kind of things in place so that we can kind of justify our gossip. Like for instance, we disguise it as a prayer request. Anybody ever seen that one? Well, excuse me. We need to really pray for Jason. Why? I don't know if you've noticed, but he's been hanging around with Jeremiah. And he was the one who's just out of rehab. And you know, well, they've been taking a lot of breaks together at work. And they both seem to have colds a lot. And you know what I mean. And I'm not saying anything, but I think that we just need to pray for Jason. And we need to lift their issues, his issues particularly, and Jeremiah's too, up to the Lord. Let us pray. Right? Have anybody been part of that one or been around for that one? And you're not lifting up in prayer out of concern, or as we talked about last week, where we confess to each other so that we can be healed and have prayer to lift us up. No, no, no. We're doing that because we want everybody to know we got a juicy morsel to go ahead and pass around. Or what about this one? Disguise things or saying, you know, but it's true. It's true. Therefore, it's not gossip. I'm telling the truth. I heard this great quote from Pastor Craig Rochelle of LifeChurch.universe or whatever it's called now. But he said this, everything that is said must be true, but everything that is true must not be said. Everything that is true, everything that's said must be true, and everything that is true doesn't have to be said. For some of us, that's the word that you just needed to hear today. Just because something is true doesn't mean I have to go publicize it everywhere. Because chances are, even if I have a morsel of truth, by the time it gets through my reconstruction, it's going to be something completely different. It's going to be the telephone game, and I am, in turn, just gossiping and sharing information that I have. Because what we learn by the scripture, and we mentioned this a little bit last week, we need to realize and what we understand is that, according to scripture, we have the power in our mouths and our tongue, that the Bible says we have the power of both life and death. And the question for you is this: what do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known as someone who speaks life and builds someone up? Or do you want to be known as that person who is constantly doing things to tear somebody down, bringing death to that individual in many different ways? We should never, ever want to bring death and destruction to someone's lives if we know the power that we have in our words of life and death. Gossip can be so damaging and can hurt so many people. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a few different people that gossip can actually hurt, all right? So the first one, if you have your bulletin or your digital bulletin, here we go. The first thing, gossip hurts the person it's spoken about. I mean, that's a no-brainer. If we look at what the scripture says here in Proverbs, there's a lot of these in Proverbs, chapter 16. It says, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Some of you know exactly what this verse is talking about. Anybody had a friendship or a relationship broken because of gossip? Anybody? You understand the power of what that can do. There's some examples. Like, for instance, someone shared something that could seem as simple as this, that it was like a secret that you shared with a friend. And then you heard that secret was out. And then the realization that secret is out and is often not as painful as that you were betrayed by the person you confided in. Or maybe you confided in someone that you had a struggle or an addiction, and you hear that somebody shared that and it got around, and now you're actually set back in getting free or overcoming that addiction because now you feel so guilty and you struggle so deeply with this. Maybe it's that somebody shared a struggle that you're having in your intimate relationships, that you shared with a confidant or a friend who shared it with somebody else, and that then became the prayer request, and the next thing you know, your spouse finds out, or your significant other, or somebody else that in this intimate relationship, and things just blew up in your face because of gossip. Or maybe, what happens a lot of times, you combine last week's message on lying, that maybe something is completely false, or someone misinterprets your statements, your actions, your humor in a malicious way. And rather than approaching you and telling and asking, hey, is this what you meant or is this true, they go ahead and tell everybody else. And before you know it, this gets back to you, and it's so crushing that you begin to have you begin questioning the person that you always believed that you are. And worse, you begin to hurt and get depressed and even doubt that you were ever a good person in the first place. And you start to struggle in those areas. The bottom line is this. The bottom line is simply this. If someone has gossiped about you, if you have felt or been the victim of lies, bitterness, small-mindedness, or insecurities, just remember, it could be worse. You could be them. Gossip hurts the person that's spoken about. Second thing that gossip hurts the listener. Yes, I did say that. The listener, you're like, what are you talking about, Jack? Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4 says this. Wrongdoers eagerly, what word? Listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. That's a verse I don't like. What about you? Because, I mean, we often think that if we're listening to gossip, we just listen. I'm just listening. I'm not going to share anything. Right there it says, we are wrongdoers to eagerly listen to that gossip that we have. Don't you just, like, hate the scripture sometimes? Did a pastor say he hated scripture? Yes, because I don't live it out all the time. I like my M&Ms. And I like to have those things at time and time again. Basically, we could say if you listen to gossip, you're wrong. The key point is this, and I want you to hear me in this if you don't hear anything else right now. Do not think for one moment if they stop talking about you, they won't start talking about someone else, they won't start talking about you. In other words, what you permit, you promote. If you're going to allow someone to run down a friend, a family member, or whoever it is, even an acquaintance, you're promoting that intention, and as soon as you leave, guess who's the topic of conversation? You are. Time and time again. The Bible is really clear. It is wrong to speak gossip. It is wrong to listen to gossip. Therefore, we know that gossip hurts the listener. So here's our rundown. Who does gossip hurt so far? It hurts the one who it's spoken about, and it hurts the listener. But it also hurts the speaker. It hurts the speaker. If we go to Proverbs chapter 25, here's what it says here. When arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never regain your good reputation. Don't you find this is interesting? That this is not a statement about someone who gossip is about. Because we live in a culture that when gossip gets out on the front page or when we hear that, that becomes the thing that we fear ruins our reputation, the ones who it's about. But the scripture is very clear. If we go back, let's take scripture as a whole. As I read and as we sang today, the battle is whose? The Lord's. And if he goes before me. And that in all things, God works for thee. Good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. So if gossip is shared about someone in those areas, it doesn't mean those feelings, those emotions, and everything aren't there. What it means is that, as I heard in a podcast this week, when we are in battles, we focus so much on what goes on in the battle rather than the fact and the promise of God that in the battle, before the battle even begins, we have the victory through Christ Jesus. So that's the joy that we have. But who does the reputation, who is it ruined for? The one who gossips. Now, it may not happen right away. It may take a couple years, but that's in God's time. The main thing is you just stay true to God and keep trusting in his word. And when everything else falls apart, you will stand. You will stand. And so if you go on and start gossiping, that's what happens. Think about it. When someone is gossiping, how many of you have ever been around somebody who's gossiping? Okay, so when you've been around somebody who's gossiping, what nobody ever says is this: man, I'd love to be like them one day. I just love to tear everybody down with their words and, man, destroying. I can't wait to get to be just exactly like you. No one in the history of the world has ever said, I want to be exactly like that gossip. Am I right? And when we look at that, we look at that person and that is talking, and often here's what I wonder. And I'm going to be really real with you right now. Number one, I got three things that I wonder. Number one, I begin to wonder this when I hear the person talking. I begin to think, you have constipation of the mind and diarrhea of the mouth. You can take that. That's an awesome statement. I love it. And number two, I wonder what they're saying about me when I leave. And so often, this is how I am. A lot of times when somebody is saying something about me in that area, and I know that they're saying something about me, often I will just make up something to see how long it gets somewhere. It's really fun to find how quickly that goes. And the third thing is, what's actually kind of tied into the second one, it's I better be careful of what I say because right now because they're going to share exactly what I say with someone else. There are people in this room right now, and I'm going to ruin part of your life, but I'm going to make it better. You have friends that you have been with for years. You have friends that if you look to, they're in your friend group. You have people that you think, wow, we've known each other since we were babies. Or we met at that first job that I had, or whatever. And I am going to tell you that whatever you share with them, they are going to share with somebody else, and they are not your friend in your heart. Sorry. I'm just telling you. There is a good dose that sometimes we need. We think longevity makes friendship. Longevity doesn't make friendship. Commitment makes friendship. That's what makes relationships deep. So if you've ever had somebody and you've had a couple times and they give you an excuse for sharing that stuff outside of here, they're going to do it again. So if you go and confide in them and it gets out and you get angry about it, don't blame them because that's who they are. That's who they've chosen to be. That's what they like to do. They want to build themselves up and do all kinds of things by tearing you down. You just need to make a choice. I don't need that in my life anymore. And you need to surround yourself by people who are good and who love you, honestly. I have never said somebody is so great that gossips, I want to be just like them. Here's a new motto for you, for people when you gossip. You do not need to invent things with your small mind and then share them with your big mouth. I'm going to say that again. You do not need to invent things with your small mind to share them with your big mouth. Gossip hurts the person it's spoken about. Gossip hurts the listener, and gossip hurts the speaker. Nobody looks at you because you're sharing dainty little morsels and wants to be like you. They actually want to stay away from you. It hurts those people that we shared about. It hurts the one spoken about, the listener, and the one speaking. So you know what that means? Gossip hurts everyone. 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 There was a story of a woman who repeated a bit of gossip about a neighbor. When in a few days, the whole community knew the story. The person it concerned was deeply hurt and deeply affected. It affected extra relationships and other things. Later, the woman who, the neighbor who was responsible for spreading the rumor, learned that it was completely untrue. She was extremely sorry, and she went to somebody with great wisdom and ask how she could repair the damage. And this person said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the supermarket. I want you to purchase, to the market, market outside. I want you to purchase a chicken and have it killed. Then on your way home, pluck its feathers and drop them one by one along the road. Although surprised about this advice, this woman felt horrific about it at this point, and so she did exactly what she was told. So the next day, she went back to the wise person and said, and talked to him. She followed that same road, but she was greatly dismayed because the wind had blown the feathers all away. And after searching for hours and hours, she returned with only 3 or 4 feathers in her hand. She came in and said, you know, I did exactly what you said, and I have these 3 or 4 feathers. And this wise old sage said this. You see, it's easy to drop them, but it's impossible to get them back. It is the same thing with gossip. It is so easy to spread a rumor, but once you do, you can never completely pick back up the feathers as they've already blown all over the place. So how can I control gossip? There are two different things that I'm going to share, and they're really practical. So I want you to have some really practical examples so that when you leave here, you go to Walmart, you go to get lunch somewhere, and somebody comes up and says, did you hear about something? Here you go. You can put it to practice. Number one, guard your ears. Guard your ears. There was an article in Psychology Magazine, and it said this, you can stop gossip with one question. If you don't write anything else down, write this down, put it somewhere, because it's a great question. So when somebody's coming to you, did you hear what, and let me tell you what, so as they go through this, you say, why are you telling me this? Everybody practice that. Ready? One, two, three. Very good. See how easy that was? You don't have to get all sassy about it, like, why are you telling me about this? What are you telling me? No, you just go, can I ask you a question? Why are you telling me this? The article says because it causes a person to do a couple things. Number one, stop. They stop right where they are. And the reason why they stop is because they have to take a mental inventory of why they are choosing to say this right now at this moment. So if you think that's too strong of an approach, let me give you a little bit softer one. And you go, well, if it's about Jason, you can go ahead and say, well, have you taken the opportunity to really talk to Jason about this? And what do you think the answer is? Nope, not at all. So, and that follow-up could be, well, I think that you should really go to them and go to Jason and talk to him about it. And this is an amazing, amazing thing. 98% of the time, they're going to be like, I didn't talk to Jason. I don't want to talk to Jason. And they're going to stop it right there. Where does this amazing question come from? It's a person who's well-known. His name is Jesus. And Jesus said it this way about a conflict between two believers. And he said, listen, ears, listen. What you need to do is go privately and speak to the person who you have a problem with. And once you do this, maybe, just maybe, they will listen to you and they will confess it. Remember, we talked about confessing to each other brings healing. So if you have that problem, you go to them and say, hey, you know what? I heard this was said. And they go, maybe they'll confess it. And then you win them back. You bring healing. Jesus taught us in the midst of gossip to just say, why are you telling me this? To stop gossiping and to go talk to the individual in question. So we have to guard our ears. And ultimately, the issue with guarding our ears is simply this. That no matter how many questions we ask, there are just some people who won't shut their big mouths. You know people who forget that they have one mouth and two ears? They just want to talk and talk. Talk, and they overtalk you. Anybody know people like that? So it may come to a point where you have to, if they aren't listening to you, that you may have to step away, distance yourself, or even sever that relationship. I saw in some articles about gossip this week that young people, like 16 and 17 years of age, talk about how much gossip has hurt them. In Proverbs chapter 20, it says this, a gossip goes around telling secrets. What does it say? Don't hang around with chatterers. Some of these young people say that so many different things have been said about them that has ruined their entire lives. And when they ask about it, they've been asked, they say, what is it about gossip? And they say, when I hear gossip about me, I'm afraid. The follow-up is, what are you afraid of? And they say everything, because it can just pass and ruin someone's life. People have committed suicide because of claims based off of them that were totally false. So that's the first thing. Next thing we need to do is close your mouth. Close your mouth. It's very simple and effective, but boy, that is difficult. James told us that the tongue is the most difficult thing to tame in the entire world. Here's what it says in Proverbs. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. This is something that God has really, like, I can tell you, in case you don't know, I like to talk. I like to make jokes. I like to be the life of the party. I like to do all those kind of things. And there have been times when somebody has has said to me in my mind, like I said, you know, I have ADHD. I'm rolling. I got everything in here. I'm like, and God just like you know how I have a story of Daniel in the lion's den and the lions, their mouth went, ah. Sometimes I'm getting ready and God goes, ah. I'm like, I want to say something. I want to get involved. And God just shuts my mouth. And that is a gift from God. Let me tell you, that is a miracle. If you have never heard of a miracle, God shuts Jack Cohen's mouth. That is a miracle. It's hard for me to be one that listens. Scripture tells us, be slow to speak and quick to listen. And we need to listen to the right things. Watch your tongue. Keep your mouth shut. Stay out of trouble. Watch your tongue. Keep your mouth shut. Stay out of trouble. Watch your tongue. Shut your mouth. Stay out of trouble. Congratulations. Some of you just memorized your first scripture lesson. And it's an important one to know. So here's what I want to say. What I want, and when I'm getting ready to gossip, would I want someone sharing that information if it wasn't them and it was about me? In other words, it's just another principle what Jesus taught us. In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, and Jesus says this. He told us to do unto others as you would have to do unto you. Would you really want someone saying the same about you if you were not around? We're going to wind down in a little bit here. Over my life, I mean, I've had some interesting things that were that have been shared about me over the years, things that just kind of hurt for a little bit and things that have done that. And over the last year or so, and even last couple months, I've been actually sometimes it's hilarious. The stuff I found out that I did, my life would be a heck of a lot more interesting and if it happened. But some of the things that I've heard just out about me in, I'll be at the gym and somebody will say something that they heard about me. And I'm like, really? And sometimes I just laugh. Other times it's affected work relationships. It's affected things to the point where my own nature, I think differently. I'm somebody who actually just is. Like, you guys know me. I walk into a room, you know I'm here, correct? And if I see you, I don't care where it is, I'm like, hey, and if I have a relationship with you, and I care and love about you, and I just want to tell you something. Something about me that you can share is that Jack Cohen loves every single person he comes across. Now, if I'm with you for a while, I may not like you, but I love every single person. And every single person I come across, I believe in one thing. I believe that God has put them in my life so I can do a couple things. Number one, to show them somehow that there's a God who created them and loves them. And number two, to let them know that I love them as well because they are that person of God. I want to instill worth. I want to instill value because this world and the people in this world are stealing value from people. They're making people, it is, who head can I climb on to get to the next level? Who can I cut by the knees? And who can I do those kind of things? And I'm going to tell you another verse of scripture when it comes to gossip and when it comes to life and it comes to when you serve Jesus. And it's one that we don't like. Jesus said this, in this world you will have trouble. But don't forget the last part. But take heart. I have overcome the world. So I'm going to tell you, if you put your ear to the grindstone, you'll hear some really interesting things about me. And those things, when they come out, at times you just, yeah, whatever. That's just completely ridiculous. And other times, it's that morsel that gets into the core of your heart. And when you have enough of this, I mean, how many of you could eat like 3 big bags of M&Ms? I mean, you might, but what looked so good and what felt so good at one, it's going to make you hurt and feel miserable. When you have those things that start off to be dainty morsels that eventually settle in and you have so much of it, there's times when you don't feel like yourself. There's times when you don't, well, you may even question who you are. Remember last week, that's what Satan wants to do. So you combine last week with today, and you have a recipe for Satan. But there's a reason why we gossip. Because gossip simply does this. It claims that I am strong because they are weak. But the gospel proclaims, I am weak, but he is strong. We share gossip because it can just simply take a moment and we can talk about someone else's lack of fashion sense, someone else's problems on social media with their obsessions, somebody else's addiction, somebody else's relationship that has gone bad. The reason why I do that, or the reason why people do that, is simply this. Because if I have to deal with talking about somebody else's issues, somebody else's problems, somebody else's addiction, somebody else's struggles, then I don't have to deal with mine. And if I don't have to deal with mine, I can cover it up. And I can push somebody else down so I can step over them to make my life feel just a little bit better. See, gossip claims that I am strong because they are weak. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, proclaims, I am weak, and he is strong. Jesus said that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. When we recognize who we are and whose we are, no matter what is being said, no matter what is being passed on, it begins and causes us to have a change of heart. When I know that I am a child of God and that he loves me and I belong to him. When we begin to understand that, we begin to realize and go to his word, and we begin to say, like in the book of Psalms, that I may feel like I'm broken and falling apart, but the word of God tells me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That in the book of Ephesians, I am told that I am God's workmanship. I am created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And some of those works God says and promises, I started a good work in you, and I am faithful to complete it until the day that Jesus comes to take you. That's what God is doing, and that's what you may need to hear today. God is doing something special inside of you. You need to realize that you are designed and created with a purpose and a plan, and that God has a good plan for your life. Plans to not harm you, but to prosper you, to help you move forward, to give him all the glory. And I know that in my very weaknesses, he is made strong. So I find that my heart begins to be transformed. And when my heart starts to become transformed, I recognize that I don't have to try to work to put others down to feel that I am accepted or that I am loved. Why? Because when I understand who I am and whose I am, I recognize that in Jesus, I am unconditionally accepted and I'm unconditionally loved by the creator of the universe. It's not by just what people say about me in life and on social media, but rather what God, the creator, the sustainer of the universe, says and speaks over me. When my heart gets transformed, he gets a hold of my heart. And when he gets a hold of my heart, he gets a hold of my big mouth. And I go from complaining, I go from criticizing, I go from lying, and I go from gossiping. Those things, those four things there that bring the power of death into someone's life and destruction. And I get a chance to start to speak life over people, to start to speak truth and love. Because I don't need to be better than you. I just need to be better than me. What I need to do is to help you, and I need to help too, to get to the one who makes me better than I am, and that his name is Jesus. And as that I begin to see that, then I can go ahead and now speak life. Because in Hebrews chapter 3:13 it says, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. And you know what? Here's the interesting thing about that. Today lasts from what? 12 midnight to 11:59. And then guess what happens? It calls today. That means we are always called to encourage one another. Always. Always, God allows no leeway for gossip in any form. And that's where we realize, I can make it. I can do this. I can fall on Jesus and be transformed. And there's a great biblical example of a guy. His name is Joseph. But then we don't know him by Joseph. He was a Levite. And he was in the priesthood. And he was from the Isle of Cyprus. But he had a nickname that displayed who he was. His name was Barnabas. What does Barnabas mean? Barnabas is a name that means son of encouragement. That no matter what Barnabas did, his life consisted of being one encourager after the other. In Acts chapter 4, it tells us that Barnabas was a Levite from Cyprus, that he put the kingdom of God first, even giving what he had and just saying, take it and use it for the kingdom of God. He acknowledged Paul for supporting himself financially for his ministry instead of depending on others. After Paul's dramatic conversion, let me tell you, Paul was Saul, and he was out persecuting and bringing Christians and bringing them to be persecuted and killed. He stood at the death and the stoning martyrdom of Stephen. He stood there holding the coats. This was a guy that you would not want to have around you in your church. But when the transformation in Saul to be Paul's life came about, all the other big disciples, all those other stained glass people wanted nothing to do with him except for one person, Barnabas. Barnabas went, met with him, stayed with him in Antioch for like 3 years, and then brought him to the disciples and said, God is doing a great work in him. And if it wasn't for Barnabas bringing Paul in and the fear that existed with the other disciples and the gossip that went on about Paul, we may never have the Apostle Paul the way we know it, or may not even have most of the New Testament. It was because of the son of encouragement, Barnabas, that it changed. While praying, fasting, and worshiping God, Barnabas and Saul, Paul received the Holy Spirit and got the calling to go on their first missionary journey. Barnabas and Paul were the ones who the church turned to create the first division in the church between Jew and Gentile. And in Galatians, Paul called Barnabas, actually called him out for being led astray, and he repented and said, hey, I just want to bring everybody together. Barnabas even had a very big disagreement with the Apostle Paul. Paul had no time for anything. And there was a young guy with him named John Mark, who is the writer of Mark's gospel. And Barnabas wanted to bring him along, but he got homesick the first time they went. And Paul said, I didn't have any use for him. And they got in such a disagreement, they split and went their other ways. Barnabas took John Mark and saw not what he was, but who he could be. And he was right. And Paul said, you were right, and I was wrong. There was some interesting things. There was some speculation about Barnabas in early church history, that people put him together as the Clement of Alexandria and some other kinds of things, and the author of Hebrews. But bottom line is this, Barnabas left a tremendous legacy. He was a strong man of faith that left a lasting legacy, but the main thing that he did was he was known for being an encourager. How many of you want to be an encourager? How many of you want to be a Barnabai? How many of you would like somebody to say, my gosh, they're such an encourager. They encourage me in every single way. So what if you got caught? What if you got caught not gossiping, but encouraging someone? What would it look like? Would it be like this? Hey, did you hear what Jack said about you? No. What did he say? Well, he said that he has never seen somebody your age that has the gifts and talents that you possess. He said that? Yeah, he did. Or maybe it sounds like this. Did you hear what Michelle said about you? No. What'd she say? She said that the way you serve other people has caused her to realize that she needs to serve other people as well. And she sees the way you serve others, it's inspired her to be more of a servant like Christ. Really, she said that? Yes, she did. What if you got caught encouraging someone? Maybe it sounded like this. Did you hear what Paula said about you? No. What did Paula say? She said that she knows life has not been easy for you. Knows that you've had to raise your child on your own. But you have been the best mother and have so much strength and has caused her and others around you to want to be a better mother. She said that? Yes, she did, and I agree. You see, when we begin to recognize, as we understand who Jesus is, we recognize that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the bringer of life. Then all of a sudden, our words begin to imitate our Creator, the one who sustains us, the one who renews us, the one who transforms our heart. And in the process of that transformation of our hearts, our mouth cannot help but be transformed as well. The gospel claims. Gossip claims. Because I am strong, they are weak. But the gospel proclaims, I am weak, but he is strong. And that is how you take care of your big mouth. All right, let's go to the Lord now as we close this series and this service out today. And as we're doing so, I'm just going to ask you to stand if you're able at this point. And get your hearts ready as we seek to find out what Jesus has for us today. As we close out this message. And I just want to say to you today that some of you may have or may be living a life that is hampered and crippled and broken by someone's big mouth. It may be an event or a moment, or it may be that throughout your life, someone who's supposed to love you, someone who is supposed to build you up and encourage you, someone who you thought that you've seen encourage other people, is somebody who continually tears you down. That anytime you get something, they criticize you or they complain about something you've done. Or maybe you even hear a lie that they said, or even worse, you hear the gossip about all that stuff. And that when you begin to do something, you feel like, wow, why bother? Don't hold on to what those morsels that seem dainty that get into your life and your heart. Don't let them get into your heart. Let the love of God get into your heart. Let him tell you who you are. And so let's bow for prayer here today. Father, I thank you for the series. I thank you for your word and your truth that truly does transform our hearts. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to always have ears to hear, to have eyes to see what you put in front of us so that we can use our words to speak life. Praying today, there are those of you who would say, you know, I want to be a person that speaks life. I want to speak life and truth and love to other people. I want to be able to guard my ears, to close my mouth when necessary. And I want to open my mouth when necessary to speak love and truth and life. So, Father, I thank you for your truth today. We thank you for your transformation power. And I pray that God, that this week, that each of us would have to just be aware of situations that you put in front of us where we can speak life and truth or death. And I pray that we would not hold those words back, but we would let the words of life go. And just continue to encourage and continue by lifting up encouragement and life over people. Because when we do, we know that people's lives will be transformed by your love and your power. And those of us, we're still praying today, God, that there's those of us, God, you have brought here for this simple message of truth. That the gospel claims that I am weak, but you are strong. Not what gossip claims, that I am strong, they are weak. This sums up a worldview that Satan has been speaking lies from the beginning of time. That if I can just be better than you, then I'm better. And it's just wrong. If I can just have more money, or I can just have a bigger house, or if I can find this thing, if I can satisfy that desire deep inside me and find purpose and meaning. And we just over and over again recognize that no matter how strong we try to make ourselves, we're never strong enough. The gospel says that in our weakness, you are made strong. It means that in our weakness, we have fallen short of God's call like everyone else. But he didn't just leave us there, because he is strong, and in his strength, he sent his son Jesus to die in our place so that we could be made new, that we could be made right, so we can have hearts that are being transformed by his love. How? In your word, the Bible, it says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, then you will be saved. You will be transformed. And those are those of you in the sound of my voice that's why you're here today. That you're here to say, if you believe in your heart that Jesus has been raised, then you can be saved. You're here to hear the gospel, that Jesus loves you, that he came for you, that he died in your place on a cross, and he stands ready to transform your lives. All you have to say is, Jesus, come into my life and receive his forgiveness and his newness. So in the sound of my voice, if that's what you want and that's what you need, because it is what you need, you just got to determine if that's what you want. Say to yourself, Jesus, take over, make me new. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Forgive me of my sin. Transform my heart and transform my big mouth. Help me to speak life to others. Help me to walk in your ways, daily encouraging others. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for loving me. Thank you that I am who you say I am. And I know who I am, and I know whose I am. And in your name, the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
right, everyone. Have an awesome week, and work on those big mouths. I'm working on mine, so I'm not going to have time to tell you. But go ahead. Just have a great week in the Lord. Tell people that you love them. Build people up. There's a lot of things tearing people down. Just continue to pray for me. Continue to pray for each other. And ultimately, have a great week in Jesus. God bless.